You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 901 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. 713-780-3776 to talk about this Coach Culley thing. Evan Drellich at the bottom of the hour to talk a little Major League Baseball with us. Javon is here to talk a little David Culley. Hey, Javon, how are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I got to say, man, if you don't get rid of Coach Culley, you want to bring in a real coach, I mean, you better give this guy a 5 to 7 year deal, because the Texans are at least 2 or 3 seasons away from even being a playoff team, and that's assuming Davis Mills is going to keep progressing as good as he is. And I think the worst part about the firing is that the whole staff is going to get let go. I mean, Pep Hamilton's made strides with Davis Mills. Lovie Smith has gotten a lot of the defense. You bring another guy in, he's not going to be a puppet. Like, you think Brian Flores is going to let Nick Caserio pick his staff for him? I seriously doubt it. So if you get a new coach in here, you're going to bring a new staff in. What happens if David Mills doesn't keep progressing, or the defense doesn't keep progressing? Will that coach immediately become on the hot seat? And I feel like if you go with Gerard Mayo, you're basically getting the same thing as David Culley, but a younger version. Guy's been a position coach. He's never been a head coach. So you thought you had blunders with David Culley. He's going to have the same learning curve David Culley had. So, I mean, you're going to be in for the same thing. So, I don't know. You bring a new coach in. I mean, I think the Texans are at least 2 coaches away from being a playoff team. That's all I got to say, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably true. I think that it is. Pep gets a lot of credit, but I think Deshaun would give some credit to Tim Kelly for his growth under Tim Kelly. Davis Mills was in direct contact with Tim Kelly even more than Pep Hamilton. That's something David Culley said in a press conference when asked 3 weeks ago. He made the point that, somebody was asking something about Pep. He goes, yeah, Pep's doing great, but Tim Kelly's the one who works directly with Davis Mills. So people gave Pep a lot of credit for that, but actually Tim Kelly had a lot to do with
from
that
what
growth.
We've seen, Pep is going to be gone. Right. I mean,
well, I think.
Jonathan Jones, who writes for CBS Sports, retweeted Schefter saying that Tim Kelly was gone yesterday and said Pep Hamilton will probably be the next OC now for the Texans.
Well, that depends on the next head coach. And he, Gerard Mayo is probably the choice because Gerard Mayo is going to be more puppet like, especially early on here. Then certainly Josh McDaniels or Brian Flores.
Nick Caserio will help him find coaches too, because Nick Caserio probably knows more of them in the league simply because of his age and time in the league. That's just a fact. Nick Caserio is unlike most general managers in that he has lived in both worlds. You know, Ballard lived in the coaching world, but only in college and the personnel world. Nick Caserio has lived in the coaching and personnel world at NFL. He's been in the league over 20 years. He knows more coaches than probably anyone else. So he can be a really good reference point, one would think, for Gerard Mayo. Would he help pick his staff? I mean, Javon, you think he would? You think Gerard Mayo would decline allowing Nick Caserio to help him find staff? He may not make the final selections, but I think Nick Caserio... I think we're all fooling ourselves if we think he's not going to be involved in that process too.
I think Nick Caserio is going to convince Gerard Mayo that this is a group effort, Gerard. This is that we're all about. We're going to do all of this together. This is what we do here. Yep. This is the Texans way. It's group. It's all. We're all. It's all.
You know
fighting.
The way that New England was really just Bill and me and a very small. Well, we're going to expand the circle. We're going to do it like that. But we're going to expand this circle now. Where it'll be me, you, and Jack. Like, what? That sounds like the same kind of circle, only Jack's in it now.
Well, guess what? And Jack is.
Yeah, but we can freeze out the owner in this circle.
I wonder what Gerard Mayo, the player, thinks of Jack Easterby during his time in New England.
Guess how much
is Gerard Mayo a big Jack Easterby guy?
I don't know. I hope he better be.
Well, chances are he is.
One
and
fish,
will
two
be.
Fish, red fish, blue fish.
Yeah, I mean. Because it's gonna be team, team, team. Yeah, sure, the head coach usually picks the offensive coordinator, but we're going to do it as a group now. This is how we're going to do it. It's a group. We're all, it's all team, team, team. I think Jerod Mayo.
Capital A, capital M.
I think that because of Jerod Mayo's inexperience, I think he is by far the favorite to take this job. Just like Coach Culley. Just like Coach Culley had to listen to everything, and I'm going to be on the headset, okay?
Now, I think Josh McDaniels is the first choice. The problem is, I got Mac Jones, potentially, when Bill Belichick shuts it down, or I got I don't even know what in Houston. This isn't so bad over here in New England.
Yeah.
We've already established our culture. We're not building a culture. You know, if you know you're the next man up, and Bill Belichick is not young.
For sure he is the next man up.
I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I would be too. I would be too. And I would be shocked if he goes, I can't wait to get to Houston because, but who knows how long Belichick's going to be there? No idea. I mean, has he given it? Maybe he's, obviously they work together every day. Belichick probably told him something about this, about, you know, how much longer, bide your time, well, stay here.
Well, that's what he was told to stay, yeah. to shut it down from Indianapolis. There's a reason he shut down the Indianapolis thing. He was hired. He was going to be Indianapolis's coach, and basically New England and Bill Belichick convinced him
now. Bill,
to stay.
Where are you going,
I know,
buddy?
That's the thing.
Hey, buddy, hey, I thought you said.
No, I didn't expect to be able to win this quickly, but we're definitely going to shut it down sometime here. I'm 69 years old, my favorite number.
That's Gronk's favorite number, not yours.
I had mine too.
Coach Bear, let's get him in here. Hey, Coach Bear.
Hey, guys, can you hear me okay? Okay, hey, what's your talk about all these other guys? You didn't listen to the Wheelhouse yesterday. I called and commented how Culley hacked them, got them, made off of money, and they said, Coach Barry, you got 36 years. Are you applying? I said, hell yeah. Y'all need to call Steve McKinney, Seth McKinney. They will support me. Forget these other jokers. Go with Coach Bear. Y'all saw me on that.
We're not hiring Coach Bear, a caller to a sports talk show.
Coach Bear,
I'm not saying you're
not.
I'm not saying that you couldn't do the same thing that has been done, but I'm just saying Coach Bear cannot be a candidate. We've got to have somebody in the NFL. Well, hold on. Do you get along?
Well, I know you threw your name in the hat on the Wheelhouse, but listen, okay. We understand your qualifications are probably as good as Coach Culley's were, but I just think that we have to move in a different direction. You know, with somebody with good, you know, NFL experience and actually possibly head NFL head coaching.
And you
experience.
Want us to go to a general, a franchise owner of McDonald's to get Steve McKinney's stamp of approval for you?
Oh gosh!
I mean, he listens to this show. He's not enough of a Jesus guy. He's not going to. Like,
that's
well,
there's a plenty of Jesus. Father Shout TJ to listens the fish. To this show. What are you, you're not a Jesus. Of course you're a Jesus guy if you listen to this show. We don't have any atheists listening to this show, Aaron. Sorry. That's your other show, The Blitz. Okay? That's where the atheists all reside. So
they didn't follow me over here.
So no, they didn't follow you over. This is a Christian show, okay?
Is it? Because yeah. There's some things Marty has serious issues with.
Did she hear the conversation yesterday?
No, thank God. Thank God. I would have heard about it.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, Coach Bear, beat it. You're not a candidate. And we saw you with the onside kick. You wouldn't even get on the ground. You know who you couldn't play for? Kelvin Sampson. Because you wouldn't even get on the ground for those diamond earrings or pure pearls or whatever Mark Klein was giving away. Yeah, pearls, whatever. Whatever the case may be, you wouldn't get on the ground and go after it. You don't have the heart. You don't have the heart of a champion like Coach Culley and the rest and everybody else at our beloved Texans front offices. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. 713-780-3776. We had Adam Schefter on. We're going to have Evan Drellich on to talk about the negotiations yesterday between Major League Baseball and the Players Association. They had one day of negotiations, and spring training's not going to start on time.
Uh-huh.
What? You met for one day, and already?
They can already tell.
Oh, my God.
They can already tell.
Oh, so disappointing what Major League proposed to the Players Association. Like, they were going to come in and go, what you guys want? Okay. That's done. Oh, that's all good. Yeah. Okay. Can we get back to playing baseball? Stop already. One day of negotiations, you people are already shutting it down. But you want to talk about defeatists. That's Major League Baseball. 713-780-3776. You got some thoughts on Coach Culley. Get in here. 713-780-3776.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:15 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big story, obviously, Coach Culley and Tim Kelly. We haven't even touched much on Tim Kelly being fired, but apparently that was a source of philosophical differences. That Coach Culley did not want to fire. How about Coach Culley standing on the table for his guys? You know, that's a lifelong coach right there saying, no, I got my guys and I'm not going to fire him. He was not going to, well, apparently to save his own skin, maybe.
And honestly, he must not like being here that much when you think about the fact that he could have just played it safe and said, okay, we'll make whatever changes. We see coaches do that all the time. Jim Mora famously didn't do it with Carl Smith in New Orleans, which was, you got to go back a ways, but it was famous for, he was kind of teared up in a press conference. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. And it was about firing Carl Smith. He didn't want to. Saints fans hated Carl Smith. But, you know, David Culley basically could have looked at this as, you know what? I don't care. Let them fire me. I don't really love this job anyway. It's a mess in the front office, or it's a mess as an organization, and I'm getting paid regardless. So I can go out on my sword and say, no, I rock with Tim Kelly. He's my guy. Mm. He's on my staff. I think highly of him. And what's the worst case scenario? You give me the rest of my money and I don't have to work for you?
Yeah.
How hard is that decision?
No, it was easy. That was simple.
Unless you love being a head coach.
Well,
and I don't think,
and I think,
I mean,
he did. I think he did. He absolutely loved
you
it.
You think he loved being a head
he
coach
said,
for this team?
I loved every day of this. I've loved every day of being a head
you
coach.
You think he loved every day of that building, that ownership, and the way that
why?
Everything
that
goes?
Ownership just stays away from you.
Well, apparently they had differences of opinions.
I don't know that Nick Casario stayed away from him so much. Maybe he
no.
was.
He I don't was, know that Jack did.
No, I don't know either. I don't either. Steven is here. Let's get him in here to talk about the Texans. Hey, Steven.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, you know, because, you know, a lot of people are up in arms about this. Not necessarily because they thought Culley was the best guy available. You know, a lot of people thought he shouldn't have been hired in the first place because we all thought he was a stopgap year. Do you think people are fooling themselves into believing that they're going to actually hire somebody, you know, the best guy possible, like a Byron Leftwich, or do you think they're just fooling themselves? And it's like, we all know they're going to hire Josh McDaniels because it's just like, it just feels like, I mean, they want somebody to control. And it just, ever since, you know, Jack Easterby got into that building, as the great Andre Johnson says, things have gone downhill. And it's like, do y'all think things are going to continue to be bad as long as somebody like Easterby, a.k.a. Green the Worm Tongue, is going to be in the in that building? But what?
Well,
just
it, listen,
to hear y'all's thoughts
listen
on it.
It would be a huge, and we appreciate it, Steven. Thanks for listening. It would be it's a huge underdog that it's not going to be a Josh McDaniels, a Gerard Mayo, or a Brian Flores. It's a huge underdog. Now, would it be a shock if it was a Leftwich? If it was, well, D'Amico Ryans has Texans ties. That would be a huge shock, though. I mean, if it's not Patriots, if it's not going to be a Patriots guy. Would you? I
think it's a young black coach. If it's not Josh McDaniels, I think you're naming the names. I think Aaron named one too. I think you're naming the names. I think it's a young black coach who will be hired. If it's not Josh McDaniels, I don't think it's going to be a recycle coach. I did think, you know, the name of Dave Caldwell was an interesting one in that. That's somebody who. Well, let's hear from Adam Schefter, as a matter of fact, because Adam Schefter, I'm not Dave, but Jim Caldwell, Adam Schefter brought up Jim Caldwell as a guy, as a name maybe we should consider since he was considered last year.
You know, I'm a big Jim Caldwell fan. The organization came very close to hiring him last year.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Caldwell would have been a huge asset for the Houston Texans last year. He's a great man, a great man. And they went a different route. I'd like to think, hope that Jim Caldwell will get a head coaching job in the cycle. I don't know that he will or he won't. But he's a guy that, to me, certainly warrants attention.
So if it's not a younger coach, Jim Caldwell maybe is in there
so
since they've
Caldwell
already talked to him.
Jim Caldwell is 66.
No, he's not a young coach.
No,
they interviewed They interviewed Marvin Lewis, too. And Marvin Lewis said, yeah, I'm not taking this. I'm not keeping Jack Easterby if I get this job. I don't want it if Jack Easterby's there. Marvin Lewis, another guy, not young. But I do think
But they interviewed. Listen, I don't know how much of the Rooney Rule it has to do with that or whatever the case may be. But a 66, Jim Caldwell may be a great man, a wonderful man. And, oh, by the way, he won. He won in Detroit, which no one can do. So you got to give it up to Jim Caldwell because he is a really good coach, but he's 66. Goodness gracious, this league is getting younger. It's not getting older.
Kind of on brand for Houston, though?
Yeah, it's really on brand for Houston.
For Houston coaches?
Well, other than Steven Silas, yes. Yes, it is perfect.
Yeah, I don't think he's the favorite. Like I said, I do think Mayo, Leftwich, Ryan's, young black coaches to me are going to be the favorites. Maybe Bieniemy, but I don't think Bieniemy. Or Josh McDaniels. Or maybe Brian Flores, who's still pretty young. So yeah, I think those are the names obviously to keep an eye on. But whoever you get, I understand we can talk about their incompetence and you know our feelings on the Texans. At the same time, I hope they hire somebody that I know a lot of people just want them to keep being terrible because there's a Schadenfreude element and you want them to be terrible until Jack's gone or Cal sells the team. Well, you need to stop swimming against the stream because Cal and selling a team, Jack and going anywhere, you might as well cheer for good football and football that you can enjoy and be happy about and be proud about. You might as well cheer for that. I am. I want them to get decisions right. I don't want the local team to be bad.
Yeah,
I want
them... ask that. Are you guys really care? Yes, we really care. Yes.
Yeah. I didn't want Jack and Bill O'Brien to be in that building. I think they're bad fundamentally for the organization. But now that Jack's entrenched, at least you have a hardcore football guy in Nick Caserio there. I hope he makes good decisions, you know. I hope I end up being wrong about his draft last year. I hope that he hires a really good coach here, and we look at this as just an embarrassing moment in Texans history, but then they rebuilt and rebranded and eventually got it right. You know, I hope that's the case. It's much better for us in this business. It's much better for me and John, as you know, me as a lifelong Houstonian, John is somebody who's been a Houston sports fan since the moment he stepped foot in here. I want the games to be fun. I want the tailgating to come back. I want all that stuff. And
well, especially in our business, we want it to be good because people get excited about it.
It makes sense for everybody, but it doesn't. But it has to start with this head coaching hire.
Yeah.
This is where it has to start from this point forward. And then from there, the next step is good drafting. And good management of the team, and so I hope they get it right. Whoever the next head coach is, I hope they get it right.
It's just amazing how they bungled it, though. What the buffoonery that of paying this guy $22 million for 1 year of work when they had it. Just it. That's the most disheartening thing for me is that they have the common sense level. David Culley had 0-0-0 leverage. He was on no one's radar to be a head coach. He would have willingly taken that for, and you give him something, that's nice. Give him $6 million. Okay, Coach Culley, we're going to give you $6 million. And then, but it's a club option for the second year. You know, he would have done that. I would have. Anybody would have. $6 million. Yeah, give me $6 million. It's probably more than six times what he was making as an assistant, and he's got 25 years in there, so he's probably a $1 million guy. Maybe in that neighborhood. He still was just a position coach. It wasn't like he was a coordinator ever.
Nah, my guess is he's like. I mean, he's well paid. Probably six, maybe seven. It's a lot. He made great money. This was incredible money. Good for him. There's a lot of argument about how David Culley got done bad and all that stuff. A, he shouldn't have been in the job in the first place. B, B, I don't think he was done well, except for the money. But I think this may have been an agreement between the two sides in the first place going in. And this is something that probably will never be said, that there was probably an agreement that said, this is how it's going to go. And we'd love to have you. We think you'd be great. You're going to be well compensated, but it's not probably going to be exactly the way you want it as a head coach. And you're going to take a lot of bullets. And this is not a great situation. See if you can help rescue Deshaun Watson and bring him back. That was the first course of action. And of course, all the lawsuits dropped after that. But I think that David Culley went in with eyes relatively open. It probably was a little more unusual than he even expected it to be. But the payout for all that was an incredible payday. So that's ultimately how it went down, and good for David, weird for the Texans. Who's next up? That's what I care about.
Just stupid. Just
next
that,
up.
That to me is just an indication that nothing, as much as things.
No, it doesn't
change,
work well.
The more they say the
it's,
same.
It's highly unusual.
No, just zero common sense. Zero. All right, 926 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, Evan Drellich. Hey, something else happened, and it wasn't good. It was the baseball met, the Players Association and Major League Baseball met. Didn't go well, and it looks like we're not going to get spring training on time. We'll talk to him about it on the other side right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Evan Drellich from the Athletic, Major League, Senior Major League Baseball writer, joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Evan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Man, we appreciate you being here. Evan, the only good team that we have around here is the Astros. Please tell us that we're going to have baseball on time this year, please, because we got is the Texans and the Rockets, and they suck. So can we expect baseball this year to possibly be on time for us?
Yeah, the regular season, there's still a reasonable shot that it will start on time. I think at this point it's very unlikely that spring training will start on time. There's just no reason to believe it will because they're so far apart, and spring training pitchers and catchers across the league would have reported within a month from now. So you're 30 days out from when normally spring training is getting underway, and there's a lot of issues that these sides have to work out. So spring training, I think, will be delayed. Regular season, you got to wait and see.
So what happened? Give us a rundown of what happened yesterday and how disappointing it is.
Well, it's good and it's bad. Honestly, I think the best way to look at it is it went as expected. So the lockout starts. The owners lock out the players in December, right at the start of December. They don't talk core economics for 43 days. Yesterday was the first time they were talking about the real core issues. Not all of them, and that was one of the players' gripes, is that MLB made some new proposals on some stuff, but not on everything that the players want to get changed. It's a positive step that they're talking. Better to be talking than not talking, right? But my understanding, I talked to somebody recently who's been very involved in NBA negotiations, lived through NBA lockouts. This stuff waits till the end. Neither side's going to want to move until you really have to, and until the other side would be risking something by saying, no, this isn't good enough for me. And so in the case of baseball, nothing's really on the line. Spring training, you lose a little bit of money through the owners, get spring training games and whatnot, but it doesn't get real until February and really the end of February when you're starting to threaten the regular season.
One of the things that's been puzzling to me, or at least surprising to me, is that everything I've read about in terms of what the issues are on both sides, what they want to accomplish and what maybe they don't want to deal with. One of the things that hasn't popped up is the long-term health of the contract situations with some of these deals being out of control. It doesn't appear as though ownership is really digging in on limiting and fighting for length of contract and guaranteed money. Is that not something? Do they really only want expansion of the playoffs? Are they not fighting for some type of control with spending?
Oh, look, owners for all of time have wanted and will always want to cap what a contract could be. You know, and if you kind of look historically, the great difference between baseball and the other three major men's sports, you know, basketball, football, and hockey, baseball doesn't have a salary cap. And that's something that the players have long fought against and are very proud of. You know, I think it's a fact that it is better for players not to be in a system where you have a cap on length of contract or how much a team is paying. But, yeah, no, there's no question owners always want it. But it's not an issue here because owners are aware it wouldn't go anywhere if you were to try to do something like that.
What is the main – Evan Drolik with us here, the Athletic MLB senior writer. What is the main thing that the players have to have here?
Well, in a way, that's kind of a mystery. We know they want to make a bunch of changes. We know that they want to get some guys to free agency sooner. They want to get some guys to arbitration sooner. They want to change revenue sharing. I think raising the league minimum salary is of particular importance to them. I think raising the luxury tax, the first luxury tax threshold, which is $210 million at the end last year, that they want to get that up significantly. You know, MLB said we're not going to talk about revenue sharing. We're not going to talk about time to free agency and time to arbitration. The end game is going to be interesting. Which issues do the players end up saying, "No, we have to have this"? You know, are there some they let slink away? I would imagine so. But it's not exactly clear what the combination of issues is that the players feel they must have at this point. And probably because, you know, you can do different things, right? Well, if you make a move here, that works for us. But if you made a move here, that would work for us too. At some point, that's got to become clearer.
This isn't like back in the day, Marvin Miller, and we're fighting for free agency, and Andy Messersmith, and all. This is just about some shifting of dollars, isn't it?
I mean, I think, correct. There isn't a something quite as maybe, you know, high-minded as, like, the right to free agency that's on the line here. But it, certainly, if you ask players, it's a question of fairness. You know, revenues in the sport go up and up and up, and you see these teams, you know, look at the Astros franchise value now as compared to when Jim Crane bought it, right? Are salaries keeping pace with the increase in revenues and the amount of money the owners are taking in? So over time, the players look at it and go, yeah, we're making good money, but the owners are making the owner's share is getting larger. Ours is not keeping pace. So that's really the heart of the argument these days.
Yeah, and if they don't get it done, it's just going to look like it's just all about greed. And I know that's it's unfair. It's fair you're working all that stuff, but it's just going to make them look really bad, Evan, if the regular season is delayed because of this stuff, right?
Oh yeah, it's always money. Right, it's always greed at the end of the day. There's no question that they're always fighting over money, and that they are two parties, both the owners and the players, who are self-interested. You know, the fans do not have a seat at the table, but you know, the other reality is they're going to have this fight. It's never not going to happen when you have this amount of money at stake.
Yeah, Evan Drolik with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tell us what's going on with Endeavor. It's you wrote a piece here. What is this? They own the William Morris Entertainment Group, right? And they're buying up. Yeah. They bought up 9 minor league teams.
It's actually 10 at this point. So you know, there's a big consolidation in minor league baseball. You see 160 teams, and they went down to 120 teams, and you had this one company, Endeavor, just bought 10 teams, and they want to buy more, and they're likely going to be further announcements in that to that end. But that same company, in its umbrella, it has player agents, and that includes Carlos Correa's player agent. And the union has said to those agents at that company, look, we've got rules that forbid our agents, our certified baseball agents, from having any dealings with ownership. Like, you can't be an owner of a minor league or major league team and also be an agent. So basically at the moment, Carlos Correa's agent is in jeopardy, as is every other agent at that agency. And we'll see what happens. There's an appeal process there, but there's at least a chance Carlos Correa might have to get a new agent before this winter's up.
Wow. That's kind of a big deal for
that
Carlos.
Is a big deal, yeah.
I mean, you know, no big deal, just looking for the contract of his life.
Right. Why does
right.
that?
Yeah.
Why not? If you're looking for that big money, just go get Scott Boras. What are you doing?
Oh, just stop. I don't want to hear Scott's name anymore.
What are you talking about?
He's got everybody.
You want
I don't
money,
want to hear about
get Scott Boras. I mean, that's that. It's this isn't that hard.
No, but I do think it's interesting that everything in life is about consolidation of power from Amazon to this is not a new thing. Like being able to control more of everything is eventually what everyone wants, and I guess that includes Endeavor and William Morris. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. The whole minor league thing. I think the entire thing, Evan, with the way that they finally approached the salary structure and the living conditions of minor leaguers, when I watched that on Bryant Gumbel, and they've done a couple pieces on Real Sports about it, it's just astonishing the poverty level of minor league players. It's incredible.
Yeah, and you're seeing players awaken to it. You know, there's a group that started, I think, maybe a year and a half ago at this point called Advocates for Minor Leaguers. You know, they're starting to have the seeds of an organizing effort. Right? Minor league players don't have a union of their own, but you know, there are people who are really trying to make waves. And you saw now that Major League Baseball owners are committing to pay for housing for minor league players. That's kind of a new concession. And you know, if you want to be maybe a little skeptical of it, it's a way to give players something so they don't ask for more. You know, they don't keep asking for you know better wages and things like that. But yeah, I think you could rightly call Rob Manfred the consolidation commissioner. You know, if you look at what's happened in the minors, you look at what's going on with Fanatics and how that company's taken over all the merchandising and they just bought Tops. It's all about concentrating the power and the revenues in those Major League Baseball owners. And, you know, I think that'll be there are other things that will be part of Rob Manfred's legacy. I think that's well known in Houston, but the consolidation will be a large part of it, too.
Oh, no, we're big fans of Rob Manfred. Oh, no, he's been great for the Astros. Jerk. Anyway, Evan Drellick, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for the update. Hopefully that this thing gets done and you don't have to talk about, you know, salary caps and service time and all that stuff, and we can talk about some baseball here soon. That's great. Evan, thanks for joining us, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Evan Drellick right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, News of the Weird coming your way when we come back here. We can't – you got to do News of the Weird, right? I mean, even on a Coach Cully day, that was weird. That was weird that they gave him 20 – that might be a story. They gave Coach Cully $22 million for one year.
I finally got a News of the Weird story for you.
Yeah, you do? Good.
Yeah.
Nice. So we'll do that on the other side right here.
Well, what if I'll give you a little hint here. How would you like to retire at the age of 15 years old?
I would have loved that. I would like to retire right now. So, there's I mean, someone, of course I would have loved 15.
There's someone who's going to retire at 15.
Well, why work so hard?
As a multimillionaire.
Why work that hard? You know what? I why not 14?
Head
14
coach,
is better.
15-year-old entrepreneur. Those are the two things you want to be.
Those are absolutely the two things I want to be.
Although she's just 10 right now.
And she's working till 15?
She's 10. She's got a 5-year span, and she's shutting it down.
Let's take one here, and we will talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Absolute marvel and grandeur is what we're talking about. Now, Jeff Aronoff could probably retire. But you know what? That dude doesn't. He just keeps on going and going and going and going, and he's been doing this for I don't know how long now in the city of Houston. I've known Jeff for 20-plus years here, and he's just the same, just the guy just getting it done time in, time out, just big jobs. I mean, he started, yeah, I'll replace your tiles and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Now it's like, we got to have us a big job. It's got to be big. What you want to do? You want to put in an entire outdoor kitchen? Done. Let's do that. You want to put in, you want to change all the countertops in your house? Yep, done. All the vanities? Let's go. I'll redo that. He'll redo that entire bathroom or den or whatever it is that you need done. And you got to do it, please. Especially your business. If you've been in business now for 10, 15, 20 years and you haven't done anything, you haven't upgraded, people are saying, you know what they're saying right now? Gross. You're gross. I'm not coming back here. So if you want people to return to your business, then it's got to be nice. Make it nice with Jeff Aronoff. Absolute marble and granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 946 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Our final segment, we will continue the Coach Culley talk throughout the day right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. You'll hear really good guests, and you'll hear really good conversation right here. Charlie, next, and then you got the Killer Bees, and then you got the Wheelhouse. They did a hell of a job yesterday getting Mike Florio. We appreciate those cuts from that show, and I'm sure that they'll, if you didn't hear Adam Schefter on our show this morning, I'm sure you will hear it later on in the day on their show. So stay right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And ESPN also has a show called Get Up, and Bart Scott was on it. And Bart Scott had this advice, because it's going to be so cold in Buffalo. Bart Scott had this advice for Josh Allen.
You know, I spoke to Josh Allen over the phone about how he's going to handle the cold weathers, because here's the issue with Josh Allen. Over the last 15 years, he's the second worst completion percentage in the NFL in freezing temps. The guy hates the cold. He doesn't play well. And he says the reason is because he's got bad circulation, so his toes get cold. And as you know, with your feet.
Can I get you a suggestion for him?
You want me
Josh Allen listening? Can people get this message to him? Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. Got to fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to move off of that.
I don't have any medical background, so I don't really have a response to that, but you play, so you must know something.
A lot of us take Viagra, right? Because Viagra opens up the blood vessels.
A lot of us take Viagra. What do you mean
a lot of NFL players, at least in my day, took Viagra because it opens up the blood vessels. A lot of endurance athletes, because Viagra was first a heart medicine, right? So it builds up circulation, which makes sure that it gets the circulation to the feet.
Okay.
All right. You know what? I don't know that the other guys, that his center is going to like it so much. I'm not sure. You know, getting up close in there and, you know, getting your hands up in there.
If you have to tackle him.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to.
Well, you don't have. Oh, I
didn't.
There's just so many things to be said and not said at the same time.
Lance, there was a warrant out for a 49-year-old white man with a bushy white beard and blue eyes. Unfortunately, in Las Vegas, they mistook him for a black man.
Oh, this is...
This, you know, I just...
Blue eyes and bushy
white beard. And so who'd they find? Who'd they arrest? Black guy.
Lovie Smith has a white beard.
Was Gilbert... Yeah, but he's not... He's not white, and he doesn't have blue eyes.
Well, that's the whole purpose. Right. Like, maybe they just went, do they know if he's white? I mean, white beard. I mean, and the blue eyes and the white guy thing, that maybe not.
I don't know. Is Gilbert in charge of this investigation?
Feels like it could be Gilbert.
No.
How about I hit you with one?
All right.
A 10-year-old little girl from Australia is making lots of money with something called Pixie's Fidgets. Pixie's Fidgets. And despite being in elementary school, this Australian girl is on the way to retiring as a millionaire at the tender age of 15. Pixie Curtis set up a toy company that's already making huge profits with the help of her mother. She founded the toy company. It launched last year, and the toys sold out within the first 48 hours. Pixie's already has another business, Pixie's Bows, a hair accessory company that her mother set up when she was a baby. Quote, she can retire at age 15 if she wants to.
Damn. So I wish I was a little.
Our family joke has been,
I'll be Australian girl.
I know. Our family joke has been, I'll be working until I'm 100, and Pixie will retire when she's 15. Good, says the mom.
Good for her. Here's a man in Russia who he's got some ingenuity. He was arrested and accused of building a fake border with Finland, 15 miles from the real one, and charging migrants $11,000 to cross it. So if you want to come across the border out of Russia into Finland, cost you $11,000. Unfortunately, it was 15 miles short of the border.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
I kind of like that, you know, he's finessing the game a little bit.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
You know, hey, Are you shy? Hey, you want to go over here? You want to go a little further? That's all.
It's not his fault you're not looking at your GPS.
That's all. That's not on him.
Listen, for an extra 100 G's, I'll get you the next 15 miles.
That's it.
That's how that works.
It works.
We've come this far.
Antonio Brown, I told you, he's hanging out with, I just saw a picture. Madonna.
I saw the picture.
You saw Madonna.
It's Madonna, some hot girl in leather.
Yeah.
Kanye.
And Kanye's got her shirt kind of up. It's, well, her bare midriff anyway.
Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yeah.
And
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite the group. Now, he has said, though, Antonio Brown says removing his jersey and pads during his abrupt exit probably wasn't necessary.
Said it wasn't professional.
Yeah. Which, there's nothing.
Has
anyone been more professional than Antonio?
I immediately thought, oh, Antonio's trying to find his way back in the league again. Here he is starting a mea culpa tour to try to see if he can con somebody into another paycheck.
Yeah. Unfortunately for Kanye, I think that's not going to work. An Instagram model claims Drake put hot sauce in his condom for a remarkably rational reason. I don't know how possess you.
Well, I know you usually just like reading these headlines. Can you go further and tell me what was the rational reason?
One observer questioned Drake's judgment on some things, but praised his alleged strategy as genius, saying they smoked. Well, here they smoked marijuana and then engaged in consensual sex. After he went to the bathroom to dispose of the condom, the model allegedly sensed an opportunity and attempted to retrieve it, leading to the alleged cavalcade of events. She tried to grab the condom.
What? This is the type of... Okay.
And use it maybe somehow against him. So what did he do?
Somehow
he loaded it with hot sauce after he took it off.
Oh.
How about okay. that?
You mean to use it against him? She was trying to get that anchor, baby.
Or maybe, yeah.
I've seen that on Ray
that
Donovan, episode
used,
one, season one.
That would be
one.
Used against him. That yeah. would be used against him.
Yeah.
Or some other accusation that she might make.
I saw it on Ray, like I said.
How about
I saw
that?
It on Ray Donovan.
Drake, you brilliant. You genius, bro. That is pretty smart. That's a lesson for all of you out there with Drake kind of money, is that you should fill up your condom with hot sauce. Did you see the Texas mom that her 11-year-old had COVID, so she stuck him in the trunk of the car so she wouldn't get COVID?
Okay, get to the weird part.
That was here in Texas. Yeah, it was here in Houston.
That was Dell's. That was the lady who lives next to Dell, probably.
No, it wasn't Dell's neighbor, the grandma, granny. She doesn't have an 11-year-old. Oh, the other one that dropped N-bombs in the driveway. Maybe that was it.
Ooh, he had that?
He's got that too, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's sitting. He says, I'm sitting in my couch and the kids are playing next door at the basket and they're all dropping N-bombs on each other. And he's like, what
the heck?
Anyway.
Oh, what are they cutting, a YouTube
video?
His
mom was arrested and charged for putting her 11-year-old. Why can't we put our 11-year-olds in the trunk anymore?
This is a different time. It used to be used to sneak people into drive-through movies. Now it's just done to, you know. Well, listen, if you just find out, if you get the test back in a rapid test and you're like, he's COVID positive. How are you going to isolate? Where is the place to isolate?
In the trunk. Perfect place.
I mean.
All right. You never put your kids in the trunk?
I haven't, but I mean, I'm just going
My
through
parents
it.
Did that. We went to the drive-in.
But that's what I just said.
Yeah.
Drive. Yeah, but there's not, maybe it ain't here. There's no drive-in anymore. Left.
Hey, did you see how Quebec has solved the vaccination problem?
How?
They put restrictions at liquor and cannabis
Knew
stores.
Knew it had to do with alcohol.
They put you can't buy liquor or cannabis unless you're vaccinated. It quadrupled the vaccination rate in Quebec.
Hey, where's the moose blood? You can't have any moose blood until you get the jab.
So,
give me the jab. I'm not waiting without the moose blood.
That's a lesson. That's a lesson for all of you out there. A Florida bill would allow cameras in classrooms and microphones on teachers. Do you want your kids to have cameras and you want microphones on your kids' teachers?
Yeah.
You do? You want that?
I don't care. My wife probably does. She wants to have total... Yeah. She wants complete... Yeah. I'll leave that alone. I almost got myself...
Here's a lawsuit for you. This woman is suing because apparently they used her as a sex doll as the inspiration for a sex doll.
How does she know that?
I don't know, but she took some pictures for them or something. But then they turned her into a sex doll. Do you think you would like to be turned into a sex doll at any time?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. What's the downside? I mean, unless I'm not getting any of the royalties.
Yeah, you're not getting that NIL deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, now is she getting any royalties on it?
She's a broadcaster on ITV, and she says she's being marketed as a sex doll.
Okay,
and she's
for her, it's probably not great. She's at a different point of her career than I am,
yeah.
Different stage of her life. If you'll give me some royalties, and frankly, you could just cut me a check on the front end, go ahead. If somebody wants that, that's on them.
Who wants that?
That's not on
other
me.
Other than Nicole.
Like, it's up to you guys. If that's what you want and you'll pay me, yeah, go ahead. Which pictures do you need?
I'm in, too. We're done. Charlie is next. Y'all have a big weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday, everybody.
Bye, bitch.
ESPN 97.5.